The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Monday, January 2nd, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I hope the second day of the new year has brought you something better than 2020, 2021, and 2022. It has been a very difficult set of years for most of, I want to say, humanity. All of us are going through this global pandemic together, even though there are many who deny that it even exists. But nevertheless, I'm hoping and I believe, not just hoping, I'm confident that 2023 is going to turn a lot of things around for us. Those of us who are fighting, I like to call it the good fight. The people of good faith, those of us who are engaging in these conversations, these debates, these arguments, we're engaging based on doing the very best that we can to ensure that we have a civilization and a planet that's better for those that we're going to leave behind after we're gone. I hope that this year is going to bring us success. I'm confident that it will, because despite everything that we've been through, we're still here and we're still fighting. Those of us that are still here are still fighting and going to continue to fight. Before we get into all the stories and all the politics and all the news, this is a full episode for those of you who are just joining me. This is going to be a full hour episode for the patrons. So if you want access to that, go to patreon.com/thebpdshow. But before I get into the news and the politics, I want to really just encourage us. Covering the news can be extremely depressing. Covering politics can be even worse. You know, if you imagine what's worse than the day-to-day news cycle, it's the long arc of politics that is at the root of most of what happens in our news cycle. It could be very depressing because you see the reality of humanity. But I've been blessed. I've been blessed to see another side of humanity. I've been blessed to see those of us who are so committed to good, committed to justice, committed to this fight. I've seen us endure. And I believe that it is our ability to persist and to be resilient, even in these very difficult times. A lot of the news that we're going to cover today is, to be honest with you, it's kind of depressing. But the fact that we can confront it head on and we can confront it soberly, be realistic about it, and try to find solutions, if in nothing else, try to find understanding so that we can do our part, big or small, in the solution, I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to be just fine. And this is not a false hope. This is a hope in the resilience of humanity, in our ability to, I mean, not just adjust, but to persevere and to, I don't know, pull a rabbit out of a hat. You know, maybe a little deus ex machina. We could use some outside intervention, right? But regardless, I believe the most important thing for us to do is to keep our heads about us when others are losing theirs and blaming it on us. If I could quote that third grade poem, the bottom line is this. The very worst thing that we could do is to become so disillusioned with the reality of what's going on around us. It's not to deny reality. It's not that I'm saying that you should ignore reality. I'm saying that somehow, some way, we have to be able to look at our reality and find a way to persevere through it all. And so that's what I'm hoping for you. And those of you who accept prayer, that's what I'm praying for you. Those of you who just accept love and positive energy, I'm sending all of that to you for 2023, that no matter what it is that you faced over these last 3 years, particularly, I mean, life is hard generally before the pandemic, but specifically over the last 3 years, my hope for you is that you not only persevere, but you can rise above it. So there's our introduction to 2023. Happy New Year to you. Let's get on with the news. And as we begin this first story, you'll understand why I started this episode with a bit of positivity. I need to go back to Columbus, Ohio. We covered the story last week of 13-year-old Sinze Reed. And he is the young man who was shot in the back by Craig Butler Sr., who was released from prison and released from custody, and has not been rearrested or charged with the murder of this 13-year-old. There are organizers all across the state and quite frankly, all around the country who are calling for justice, and they are gathering protesters in Columbus, Ohio. And I want to make sure that I bring this to your attention, because if there's anything that you can do, if you're in Columbus, if there's if you're nearby, I mean, as close as at least Cleveland, if you can make it out to these protests, I want to make sure that we do what we can to help this young man get justice. These stories repeat themselves all over the country. Specifically, we've gotten accustomed to them. We're no longer shocked. And this is why it's incumbent upon us to persistently and consistently bring it to your attention. And I want to play in a moment a clip of Sinze's mother. So many mothers who have had to bury their children because not only of the police state, but now in this particular case, the shooter was not even a police officer. And I hate that phraseology, but I mean, we're there now in the United States of America where we have to consider just random white people gunning, particularly random conservative white men. If we narrow it down, if we were to do an FBI profile of this unknown subject, you know, we would always find that the majority of these shootings are taking place by conservative white men. And I absolutely hate that that's where we are in this country, where we not only have to be concerned with the police state killing us, as they have done since they were formed. Let's just be real. The nature of the policing agencies across this country has been particularly dangerous, deadly to black people since their inception. But now we're at the stage in American history, it's almost like a renaissance of white supremacy where white men are able to get away with killing black children. So I don't want to go too far off. I want to play a clip in a moment of Sinze Reed's mother. And I'm so tired of having to hear the broken hearts of mothers. And you'll listen as she describes all of the different things that this young man will never be able to do. But before we do that, I want to make sure that I bring attention to all of the protests that are coming up. And I'm getting this particular list from Raymond Obey II on Twitter. I want to make sure that we get as many people as possible to support these events, no matter where it's happening in the country. We speak to an international audience and we have quite a bit of a following across this country. So if you're anywhere near the area, do what you can to attend. And those that cannot attend, organizers are asking that emails and phone calls be sent to the various prosecutors' offices, and I'll make sure we get that to you. But here's the upcoming schedule. Thursday, January 5th at noon, they will be delivering a letter to Gary Tyack, the city prosecutor's office. On Saturday, January 7th at 1 p.m., there's going to be a community march at the Columbus State House. Finally, Monday, January 9th at 5 p.m., there's a city council meeting that they are asking people to attend. And again, this is for justice for Sinze Reed, the 13-year-old boy, child, who was shot in the back by Craig Butler Sr. Craig Butler is free. Sinze Reed is dead. I am so tired of covering these stories, but this goes back to what I said at the beginning of today's episode. We have to be diligent and persistent, because if we are not, we will find that the enemies of good faith, the enemies of black life, the enemies of all marginalized groups, they're not going to give up. Take a listen in to the mother of 13-year-old Sinze Reed as she describes the heart-wrenching situation, the heart-wrenching reality that her son is gone.
My son would never have kids. He would never go to college. No high school dances, none of that. There's been a lot of babies that have been shot down, gunned down, and nothing has happened. Mm. So I needed to start with my son.
That was the mother of Sinze Reed, the 13-year-old who was gunned down by Craig Butler Sr. Her name is Megan Reed. Megan Reed is another mother who has to bury, or who has had to bury, because this actually took place back in October, who had to bury their child because some random white guy took it upon himself to say that he felt threatened. In this case, this particular case, Craig Butler jumped out of the truck and shot this child in the back, got back in his truck and drove off, later claiming self-defense. We've seen this happen too many times, like she said. It's happening, and it's not just the police that are doing this. It's also just random white guys who feel so entitled that they feel like they have the right to go and kill black children. And so what organizers are asking is that you, if you cannot attend the protests that are coming up in Columbus, that you contact the Ohio Prosecutor's Office, area code 614-525-3555. And we want to bring justice. We want justice for Sinzay Reed. We want justice for Jaheim McMillan, the 15-year-old shot in front of the Family Dollar store in Gulfport, Mississippi. Still waiting for the body cam footage to be released and for that officer to be charged. There's so many stories around this country. To be quite honest with you, this entire show could be nothing but black life that has been taken either by the police or by some random white dude, some random conservative white dude with a gun. We literally can do a full show every day because that's how frequently it's happening, and it's gotta stop. And we're gonna fight for that this year. Justice for Sinzay Reed.
Faithfully discharge the duties.
I will faithfully discharge the duties
of the office
of the office of
Earl City Mayor.
Earl City Mayor.
Upon which I am now about to enter.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
That's the sound of 18-year-old Jalen Smith of Earl, Arkansas, being sworn in as the youngest black mayor in the United States, 18 years old. Now, Earl is a small town of about 2,000 people in Arkansas. And this young man took it upon himself to run, and not only run, but he won. I've covered the story on Like It or Not with Rebecca Azor. And to be honest with you, after talking about Sinzay Reed and Jaheim McMillan and talking about how many times we've had to cover young black men being killed by the police, being killed by random white folk, or being killed in the streets, I really am excited about this young man. It's a small town. It's a perfect place for someone to begin their career in politics and to have the opportunity to actually gain some life-changing experiences. So we're going to be wishing this young man well. I'm going to do my best. I'm sure he's gotten notoriety and people reaching out to him. But there's a network. There's a network of black mayors. And I'm going to play a clip of another black mayor in a moment from Baltimore. But there's a network of young black men mayors. And for those of you who remember our time as we were doing clickbaity political thirst trap, I want to remind you that Mundell Robinson, he's also a mayor of his hometown. He went back to his hometown to run for mayor. There's Mayor Khaled out of South Fulton, a brother who's been on this show several times. I had a chance to interview the mayor of Montgomery, a black man, Stephen Reed, mayor of Montgomery, this mayor of Jackson. There are so many black mayors across this country that I really believe that this young man should be tapped into if he isn't already. And so we're going to be encouraging. I'm going to reach out to Brother Mundell and make sure, and also the mayor of Montgomery, and do what we can to make sure that he is surrounded by people with experience, people who can help him understand the politics, the traps, the snares, because, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. There's going to be plenty of people who come after this young man, even in a city of 2,000 people. I mean, that's the nature of humanity. That's the nature of politics. And you'll see that in this next clip that I'm going to play. This is a soundbite that was taken by ultra conservative Candace Owens wannabe Kim Klasick from Baltimore. She did a soundbite of Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott, who was on the scene of a shooting of a 7-year-old child in Baltimore, a senseless, tragic shooting. And as the mayor took to the television waves on the scene, trying to express his concern about the violence in his city, he did so in an unusual fashion for a mayor. But this is a young man, 38-year-old young black man, who felt that he needed to just say what he needed to say about the senseless deaths that are happening, not just in his city, but all across this country. Take a listen into what this conservative Candace Owens wannabe Kim Klasick helped go viral in an attempt to attack this young mayor.
We know in Baltimore and across this country right now, after the pandemic, people are dying over dumb shit. And that's the reality. And we have to understand how we're going to hold those people accountable.
I'm looking for the lie. I'm looking for the controversy. Now, that small clip has been seen over 10 million times on Twitter And it's because the conservative movement, led by, in this case, Kim Klasick, a young black woman herself, who, again, is trying to be the next Candace Owens, or at least get the bag like Candace Owens has successfully secured the white supremacist bag. She made it go viral trying to attack him. But most people look and listen to that clip and realize he said nothing wrong. Oh, my. What? He cussed? He used a bad word? I'm sorry, but when you see a 7-year-old child die because of some stupid ish, yeah, that's the most effective way to describe what's going on. He's since released, obviously, a detailed plan of how he's going to attack all of the violence that's happening in his city. So it's not just lip service, but it's amazing to me that no matter what move you make, conservatives are honestly going to try to find anything they can to attack you. And even in a small town like 2,000 people like Earl, Arkansas, I don't care how big or how small your assignment is, there will always be someone there dedicated to trying to undermine and to destroy you. And again, I guess this is what makes the opening of today's episode so meaningful to me, because this is another reminder that we have to be persistent. We have to be so committed to what we're doing, because our enemies are 100% committed to destroying us no matter what we're doing, whether we're trying to save the environment. Something as obviously noble as trying to save planet Earth, all the way down to our response and how we react in moments of anger or frustration, or in this case, just downright desperation of over the senseless killings that take place all across this country. There's no good faith act that can be done by the people of good faith that won't go punished or attacked by conservatism. And this is why I want to encourage and celebrate the young man in Earl, Arkansas, because he's obviously in a pretty conservative state, but it doesn't really matter, because there's conservatives all over this country who would do anything they can to undermine a progressive mayor, a black mayor, and certainly a black young man, because they have plans for young black men, and those plans generally do not include becoming the mayor. So solidarity and support to the young mayor of Earl, Arkansas, Jalen Smith. And again, a shout out to the brother, the mayor, 38-year-old Brandon Scott in Baltimore. And to people like Kim Klasick, you have to understand, Kim, white supremacy really only has room for one Candace Owens at a time. So you're going to have to wait your turn before you can really secure the bag for being a self-hating black person who's willing to do the work of white supremacy.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. In national news, Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader for the Republican Party, is having a very difficult time securing the 218 votes necessary for him to become the next Speaker of the House. Now, former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has moved out of the official chamber, the offices for the Speaker, in order to make way for the next Republican Speaker of the House. But because Republicans are in such disarray, and because they are in the middle of their own civil war, they are unable, or in this case, Kevin McCarthy, he's unable to get the votes necessary. He has had to make several concessions, promises, to the Freedom Caucus, to the extremists in his party. Tomorrow will be the vote for the Speaker of the House. And as it stands, despite the concessions that Kevin McCarthy has made, it does not look like he's going to get to the 218 votes necessary. I'm going to play a couple of clips, but I want to go through a couple of the concessions, or at least one in particular. The fact that Kevin McCarthy has conceded to allowing 5 members of the House of Representatives, particularly the Republican caucus, to bring up a vote of no confidence in the Speaker, ultimately giving them the power to remove the Speaker of the House at any given point that they deem he's not doing what's necessary. I'm sorry. That's a concession that I would not make with the likes of Matt Gaetz, and Lauren Boebert and Andy Biggs, who made it clear on Fox News there's literally nothing that Kevin McCarthy can do to secure his vote.
No, I won't be voting for Kevin McCarthy tomorrow. He's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. And there's nothing he's done to earn my vote. There's nothing that indicates to me that he's going to change his pattern since he's been in leadership, where he's part of the swamp cartel.
Now, you have to understand, Kevin McCarthy is no slouch when it comes to extremism. He has been part and parcel with Donald Trump every step of the way throughout Donald Trump's presidency. He has voted for every single ridiculous policy that came out of those 4 years. But it's not enough for this particular set of conservatives. And I bring this up not out of concern for Kevin McCarthy, because I'm quite honestly enjoying the schadenfreude. I am so happy to see the Republicans destroying themselves like this. I'm bringing it up because I think people need to realize, no matter how extreme the Republicans were, they are always buying to find a way to be even more extreme. And I think we need to really come to terms with that. We have been infiltrated by a faction of extremists in this country who have gotten political power. They do not care how much they lie. See George Santos. And it's possible that's not even his real name anymore. But they have no compunction or reservation or hesitation about lying, about hypocrisy, about inciting violence, about stochastic terrorism. We are dealing with a brand and a cult of conservatism that is absolutely destructive to this country. And it is most notable by the fact that you can't even get Kevin McCarthy, who I believe is an extremist himself, can't pacify the absolute zealots and demagogues of his own party. Well, that made former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that guy, but he came out on Fox News and this is what he said, because he can't believe, he simply can't believe that the extreme extremist in his party won't support the extremist that is Kevin McCarthy.
I thought at least the House was going to be a sign of stability. And these five guys decided to go out as kamikazes and see if they can't sink the whole Republican Party. And that's what they're doing. This is not about Kevin McCarthy. This is about the right of any five members to basically throw away the entire rest of the conference and tell the rest of the conference it doesn't matter.
Why would they do that?
This is a vote between them and the conference.
Newt, that makes absolutely no sense. Why would they do it?
I think it's a psychological problem. These guys can't count straight. They can't play tic-tac-toe. They can't accept victory. I mean, this is a moment where the Freedom Caucus could claim victory and conservatives could claim victory. You're going to have, given what McConnell's been doing in the Senate, McCarthy is the only hope for conservatism in Washington right now. And to undermine him, I think, is to undermine conservatism, undermine the Republican Party, and frankly, undermine the country.
Oh, poor Newt. He can't believe that what he set in motion back in the 90s has come home to roost, in that his new establishment, because the Republicans that you see now, right, they are certainly not the same establishment Republicans we would have seen back in the 90s. Newt Gingrich came along, and instituted the scorch earth politics that we are dealing with now. Here's the thing with scorch earth. Once someone sees that it is effective, they will go one step further to scorch the earth a little bit more so that they can win. And so ultimately, the politics that Newt Gingrich started in the 90s in his way to attack Bill Clinton, the type of politics that he joined with people like Rush Limbaugh in the media to create this entire environment that we're living in right now, is finally coming back to bite him in the behind. Trying my very best here for those of you who've listened to my show for many, many years. This bite him in the behind is generally not a phrase that I would say. But this is the creation of Newt Gingrich. And so now he's upset because the extreme extremists, because again, Kevin McCarthy is not ye old standard Republican from the likes of Barry Goldwater. Kevin McCarthy is extreme as Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Kevin McCarthy are on the same side. Marjorie Taylor Greene is supporting Kevin McCarthy, and she is one of the downright nastiest, filthiest, most disgusting zealot in the Republican Party, but still not enough for members of the Freedom Caucus and people like Andy Biggs, who in this next clip explains their strategy to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. Listen in.
Well, what we'll do is we'll block Kevin. There'll be, I suspect, 10 to 15 members who will vote against him on the first ballot tomorrow that will vote for Andy Biggs. But then I think you'll see on the second ballot an increasing number of members vote for a true candidate who can represent the conservative center of the conference, can motivate the base, inspire Republicans across the country, get to 218 votes, bring our conference together to fight against the radical Democrat agenda.
The radical Democrat agenda. What agenda? The 100,000 new police officers Joe Biden put on the streets. Like literally nothing that we asked for in the wake of George Floyd came to pass. Literally nothing has been. The $10,000 in student loan repayments that was itself upended by a conservative federal judge. What radical Democrat agenda? The fact is, in the scorched earth political realm that Newt Gingrich helped create, there's literally nothing that the Democrats can do that would be satisfactory to Republicans, because Republicans have hinged all of their politics on screaming that the Democrats are radical socialist, communist, Maoist, Leninist, Marxist. That's all they know. That's all they can do. And so this is where we have come as a result of people like Kevin McCarthy, Andy Biggs, and Newt Gingrich. And unfortunately for them, but very fortunate for America, they are starting to destroy themselves. Be sure if you want access to the second half of today's show to go to patreon.com/thebpdshow. I want to have several conversations with patrons in the second half. And again, if you want access to that, patreon.com/thebpdshow, twice the content, none of the commercial interruptions. I want to talk about two different things specifically in the next segment or in the next half. I want to talk about the brainwashing of Generation Z that's going on by the Republican Party. I have a clip from OAN, where they were interviewing a young Republican. Now, young Republicans have always been with us, but when you listen to the direct programming, I mean, the most fascinating thing is when people try to act as though they have a mind of their own, right? They're free thinkers, but as soon as you hear them open up their mouth, they're spouting the talking points of Tucker Carlson. And there is a concerted effort to win the next generation that's actively going on right now. And I think progressives and liberals, or however you identify, generally speaking, the people of good faith, the people who would like humanity to last a little bit longer than, the first half of the 21st century. We have to be aware that the battlefield of the mind is happening right now in the minds of young people. Now, generally speaking, I believe that the kids are going to be all right. But when you listen to this clip for this young man, it's really disturbing how deeply rooted the propaganda has gotten. I also want to talk about the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts is afraid that the validity of the court is threatened. And he's afraid that the Supreme Court justices, who have no compunction whatsoever about stripping your rights away, he doesn't want them to be uncomfortable in public. He wants them to be perfectly comfortable, and which means translates into no one has the right to protest Supreme Court justices. And John Roberts is making sure that he's going to use his platform to protect the justices from accountability from the people. Because if the Senate is not going to impeach any of them, the people have a right to protest these unjust rulings from the highest court. And finally, in the next half, I'll be talking about a couple of clips from 60 Minutes that really outline the dire situation of climate disaster. I don't get a chance to talk about it enough on this show. I'm going to fix that, because as we try to, me as a father, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm in this fight specifically to help my children have at least at a minimum a chance at life like we had. And with climate disaster, with us actually experiencing it now and what is to come, if we don't fight back there with everything that we have, there may be no future for our children. So patreon.com/the BPD show. Everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow.